As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
It's Straight Outta Cobham, a show about Chelsea FC from The Athletic. On this episode, foxes in London. To some a pest, to others an example of ingenuity and adaptability of animals to the evolution of the human world. It's Leicester in the FA Cup quarterfinal is what I mean. There's a crunch game in the WSL title race on Friday night and a bruising encounter awaits in the quiz. Available for free wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic, this is Straight Outta Cobham. And we are set. For a big weekend in the world of Chelsea Football Club gang, it's me, Matt, here to talk it all through in the company of two of The Athletic's very best. Hello, Simon Johnson.
Hello.
And Luke Bosher's back with us too. You okay, Luke?
Very well, Matt. Feels like an age.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But still reeling from last week's quiz. Let's see if there'll be a return to form as we plough on with the podcast. That's coming later, but first we're going to look ahead to the FA Cup quarterfinal. So it is Chelsea against Leicester at Stamford Bridge, Sunday lunchtime, hoping to roast the Foxes and book another trip to Wembley as the Football Association's Challenge Cup reaches round six. Simon, this is a far more important game for Chelsea than it is for Leicester. Would that be fair to say?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, if you're Leicester, there's one priority in town. As much as you sort of want to keep an upbeat mood in the squad and all that. And there is a bit of a rivalry between the two clubs dating back many years. But, you know, they're worried about promotion. That's the main goal. I still think, given that Leicester are going to have a big away contingent, it's going to be a difficult game, just as like the Leeds game was a few weeks ago. But, yeah, this is huge for Pochettino and for Chelsea just to keep life in the season. And that last hope of winning a trophy.
It's a better time to face them as well, Luke, isn't it, than even when the draw was made, because they've been cruising the league for most of the season. But now they've only got a couple of points between themselves and the chasing pack. And they've only won one of their last five championship games. They're not even coming into this one in particularly good form.
Yeah, I saw that they won two of their last six, but of course one of those wins was against Bournemouth in the fifth round of the FA Cup, a game that could have gone either way, I think. So yeah, it's definitely a good time to face them. It's, you know, in that classic cliche, the wheels are coming off sort of time for the Championship leaders. And I think, as Si said there, they will be, you know, Leicester and Maresca will be 100% focused on the league. And, you know, they may even, I mean, it's difficult because it's right before the international break, but you know, so we'll see how strong they go, but they may even be tempted to rest a few players, even the ones that aren't going away for international duty.
Yeah, you'd think so. The likes of Hermansson, who's the first choice goalie, hasn't played in the cup. They're probably bringing people like Connor Cody as well for this game too. In terms of the Chelsea team, Simon, a couple of players we know won't be playing. Enzo Fernandez is suspended and Cesare Cassidy's cup tied. You've written about him for The Athletic this week. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, it just felt like the good timing of a piece, given it's kind of the parent club versus former loan club derby, isn't it? And just to highlight what a bizarre decision recalling Cassidy has proved to be, it raised eyebrows when Chelsea did it in January and Pochettino was asked about it and he said, well, we need a bit of cover. But he's then proceeded to essentially not use him. 17 minutes in three late substitute appearances is all he's amassed so far. And it just feels like a complete waste when you think that, no, he wasn't a regular starter for Leicester, but a bit like Amari Hutchinson at Ipswich, you know, he's still playing regularly in a promotion-chasing team. And you can't get much better experience than that. And actually, he was being lined up, as I write in the piece, to play consistently because Ndidi was out for 2 months. So Leicester were very much going to start him more. Maresca was a big fan of his. And it just seems, like I said, a bit of a setback for Casadei's progress. And he's done nothing wrong. Chelsea will argue that he's benefiting from training with the first team squad and just being in and around it. But there's no compensation for lack of minutes. I'm sure Casadei would rather be playing. And with just 10 league games to go and perhaps, fingers crossed, some injured players coming back, like Chukwuemeka, because he came on the other night. Lavia, we keep sort of seeing images of him being back in training, so fingers crossed he might be back soon. You just can't see how the amount of minutes will improve. And then, so you're waiting for him to get another loan, presumably for next season. I think that's what they're thinking of.
Yeah, the Casadei situation is so bizarre. And I find it, you know, I'm sure like he does, you know, very frustrating to watch him be named on the bench and then get, you know, if you're talking about American sports, garbage time minutes, essentially, at the end of a lot of games. And you wonder if that's why, you know, partly, you know, why Chelsea have moved to bring in Josh Marsh from Swansea as their new loan manager, which I think David Ornstein reported last month. And maybe, you know, his arrival will, you know, sort of help a bit more, you know, get a bit more synergy with the loan department to sort of potentially prevent a situation like this from arising again.
I think it really highlights as well the Pochettino, what he says contradicts what he actually does. Because all season, I remember sort of going back to the start of the season, he's talking about how important the academy is and making them feel involved, etc. When Casadei was recalled, he was talking about, I need cover for injured midfielders. Now he's talking about midfielders being tired and almost making out he's got no choice. It's like, no, but you do have choice. You have academy players that you could be playing. Now, it is a bit of a gamble, of course, with academy players that it's not quite the sure thing as perhaps, although, is there a sure thing as far as Chelsea are concerned most weeks? I just find it rather frustrating, and I don't think I'm the only one. I think Chelsea supporters regularly voice their disappointment in how academy players are selected on the bench and rarely given any meaningful game time. And I just think Pochettino's got a little bit to answer for here. He could have, not saying that Casadei should have been starting games, but he could have been taking players off sort of a bit earlier in matches and perhaps giving Casadei a go. And when you look at sort of how Jurgen Klopp, it's a tough man to be compared with, but the way Jurgen Klopp has sort of shown a lot more trust in Liverpool's youngsters in a title race, then it just puts Pochettino a little bit more under scrutiny.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think that's one of the reasons, Si, why Pochettino has sort of failed to, you know, not least performances and results, but has failed to kind of win over large sections of the fan base. Because as you say, you know, when you read his quotes on the Thursday or the Friday before a game and then something different happens on the Saturday, Sunday, I think fans have a right to be a little bit miffed as to sort of why they're, you know, they feel like they're being led down the garden path a bit.
Yeah, and I just remember, you know, because he touched on something, you know, like what he said in press conference. I remember a League Cup presser, like really early on, it may have been ahead of the AFC Wimbledon game, and he said, you know, there's going to be loads of academy players on the bench. You know, he's talking about 16, 17, you know, he gave it the big one. And I think there was only two, and perhaps one of them was, I don't know, Bergstrom or someone like, you know, one of the goalkeepers. So again, just highlighting that what he says doesn't actually correlate with what he does.
Yeah, and we've spoken about the randomness of who does appear on the bench. We saw that again on Monday with Josh Achapong, who's played 16 minutes in PL2. this season and found himself on the bench against Newcastle. So Cassidy can't play. If you want to read that piece from Simon, by the way, athletic.com/ChelseaPod, the place to go to sign up and become a subscriber. Elsewhere in terms of the team, Luke, interesting to see who starts in goal, because we were all a bit surprised when Robert Sanchez did against Leeds in the previous round. Does that mean that he gets the shirt for this one?
I think it does, yeah. I think, you know, maybe at the start of the season, Pochettino might have had in his mind that Sanchez would end up being the number one, and then, you know, you'd sort of bed Petrovic into English football by giving him, you know, minutes in the FA Cup. And, you know, that ended up not coming true because of Sanchez's injury. And now I think it looks like Petrovic has sort of established himself as Poch's number one, and Sanchez is the one that looks like the cup goalkeeper. So I think, yeah, in order to kind of maintain relationships and keep the squad happy, I think Sanchez will start. But, and that's, you know, it's no, you know, mark against Sanchez. I think I was pleasantly surprised by how well Sanchez was doing for Chelsea before his injury. So it's certainly not the worst bit of rotation.
What about elsewhere, Simon? I guess Mykhailo Mudryk's done all he can do to get a start, hasn't he? Not just that, but maybe Raheem Sterling's form going the other way would make you think this would be a good time to give Mudryk a go from the off.
Good chance, although it was very noticeable. I was sitting next to a young journalist in the post-match presser on Monday night, and he asked, it was actually the first question of the press conference, of what does Mudryk have to do to play more regularly? And Pochettino's answer was, yeah, I didn't get the impression from him that he was like, oh, we've scored a great goal, so now I'm really happy with him and he's going to be playing every week. Put it that way. But I would like to see Mudryk rewarded for what looked like a little flashback, a little reminder of what it was like when he came off the bench against Liverpool 14 months ago or whatever it was, when we all got excited about what this confident, fast player could do with his feet. And he came on the pitch on Monday night and it was like, oh, wow. Even before he scored, he just seemed to have a bit more energy about him. He's still a raw, very raw player that seems to make up as he goes along. And I think the way he scored the goal almost said that, the way he took the ball off Conor Gallagher without Gallagher sort of knowing. It wasn't like an organised move. It was just Mudryk doing what Mudryk in his own little world there. But I would like to see him play, even if Leicester play a defensive style of play, which doesn't give Mudryk much room to run into. Sterling, I feel for the guy in the sense that he must be sitting there thinking, what's happening to my career? He left Man City, serial sort of trophy winner, and it's just not really worked for him at Chelsea. He's had his moments, and I don't think it's for a lack of trying. I think he gets accused of, it's very easy, it's quite a lazy accusation at a very well-paid player to just say, oh, he's just here for, just to pick up an easy paycheck. I think he has tried to make it work, but I just think that Chelsea was the wrong move for him, as it turned out, because Chelsea are in a, he's kind of like a, he's going to shine in a team that's finished. I think he's shown that he's not really a player that you can rely upon when the team is as raw as Chelsea's is.
Yeah, just going back to, you know, a point that Si was making just before talking about Sterling, was Leicester's style of play and how Mudryk might match up against that. I think it will be really interesting to see whether Leicester do adapt, because I know their fans this season have been quite unhappy at times with how almost militant Enzo Maresca has been in terms of, you know, he's got a style of football that he wants to play and that's it. And, you know, it's quite possession hungry. You know, they're not going to concede the ball. They like to play with inverted fullbacks. So I could, you know, 100% see them trying to take the game to Chelsea, particularly given they've almost got nothing to lose. So that may well be to the benefit of players like Nicholas Jackson and Mykhailo Mudryk, who like to run in behind.
It does feel like a free hit for Leicester, though, doesn't it? The timing of this fixture, they've got an international break. It's not like they're, yes, whilst I said earlier about, you know, sort of amazing thing here, saying that promotion is their main priority, but they don't have another game for a few weeks like Chelsea. So they can go for it and have that kind of, well, if they lose to Chelsea, they've got the caveat of, well, of course they should, because Chelsea are the Premier League team. So pressure's all on Chelsea to win this game.
Yeah, and they'd like a trip to Wembley, but absolutely not in the playoff final. So this will be their best chance to get there. Just lastly on the Chelsea team then, Luke, what are we going to do in terms of filling in for Enzo Fernandez? I guess we could see Palmer, Sterling and Mudryk all lining up, right? Maybe with Palmer in the middle and then Gallagher goes back into Enzo's place.
Yeah, that's kind of how I would see it, Matt. I think Gallagher would drop a little bit deeper. Possible Chukwuemeka gets a start after, you know, he was so promising earlier this season. But, you know, again, you don't want to be, you know, too gung-ho with him coming back off an injury, you know, when, you know, he previously suffered a bit of a setback. But yeah, I think, you know, in terms of the sort of double pivot, if you will, I think it's pretty likely to be Gallagher and Moises Caicedo in there.
You'd like to give Caicedo a rest, I suppose, given that he keeps getting booked pretty much every game he's playing at the moment. But the absence of Fernandez and Casadei means that's probably not going to be possible here.
No, and also just he's needed, isn't he, for what he does bring to Chelsea. Has he been a 100/115 million pounds, including add-ons, kind of player this season? No. But is he getting better? I think he is. There are definitely things to improve on, but I have noticed him being far more influential, winning far more just with the naked eye. I don't have the stats to back this up, but he just seems to be more of a nuisance to opponents than perhaps he was in the first half of the season. And that's been a positive in recent weeks.
Yeah, fingers crossed it continues. He was a semi-finalist last year with Brighton. He'll be looking to get to the same stage again this time around. It is Chelsea's 40th FA Cup quarter-final. They've been drawn at home in every round so far this season. Remember, extra time and penalties a possibility on Sunday. It is a 12:45 kickoff at Stamford Bridge, where the groundsmen are busy this week. They've got to get the pitch ready for a massive WSL game on Friday. We'll look ahead to that after this.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Catch all new episodes Thursdays on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Chelsea versus Arsenal at what will likely be a full Stamford Bridge in the WSL on Friday night then. It is simply ginormous given the state of play at the top of the table. Chelsea above Manchester City on goal difference. Arsenal 3 points back. They've all played 15 games. Chelsea have won their last 3-0 after losing against City in the WSL in February. Arsenal have won their last 4 after losing 1-0 at home to City, albeit that was in the FA Cup. Luke, it's not massively in Emma Hayes' nature, but I wonder if maybe, given that a draw is a better result for Chelsea here than it is for Arsenal, if defence might be the first thought in her mind here rather than going out to win the game?
I mean, that's a tough one, Matt. Emma Hayes not often super pragmatic, but as you say, yeah, it's definitely more valuable for Chelsea that they don't lose. It's a very, very close game. Potentially wouldn't surprise me if Chelsea opted to go back to a 3-at-the-back system, but I just don't know. Hard to predict the Chelsea women's starting lineup these days, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see Hannah Hampton come back in goal, because footwork against Manchester City was absolutely extraordinary. She's really good at starting attacks, and Musovic, albeit a very blustery Walton Hall Park, struggled with that at Everton in the Cup last weekend. There'll be revenge on the minds, right, Simon, because that 4-1 defeat at the Emirates really smarted, particularly Emma Hayes, who was pretty critical of the team in a way that we don't normally see, and her touchline demeanour suggested fury. So I imagine she'll be reminding her squad of what happened that day and the fact they need to put it right in front of a big crowd at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, it does the team talk for her almost, although I think she'll still give a pretty fiery team talk, perhaps reminding her players of how they didn't really turn up in that game, which was a bit of a humiliation. You're not used to seeing, like, you can always be outplayed, but I think what head coaches of, whether you're the men's team or the women's team or the academy team, you can't accept being outfought or sort of the one team wanting it clearly more than you. And it, I mean, I watched that game from the comfort of my sofa and I was really surprised to see Chelsea women playing like that. I had to double check and that it wasn't the men's team that I'd put on. So that's how bad they were. I mean, Arsenal were very good that day. Also, you have to give them credit for, I think it was a pretty much sold out Emirates, if memory serves, which was fantastic. And it is great that there seems to be a huge drive to get people to come to this game. I noticed, I think, Thiago Silva tweeting about it, which is great, because I remember asking Emma Hayes about this early in the season, sort of, why is it, how can you be the best team and have been the best team for years, but the crowds are a fraction of what, for example, Arsenal are getting? And she did say it's something that them as a club are trying to work on, and getting people like Silva to help promote it can only help. And it's great to see that there's going to be a big crowd in. But Chelsea really, I feel like they've been winning games for a while, but not been playing that great. I think they'll have to raise their level to get this victory.
Yeah, Jesse pointed out on Monday how significant it was to get that win against City last week in the League Cup semi-final, just to give that bit of belief that they can beat their title rivals. This, of course, is a dress rehearsal, as they say. I used to think this was an actual thing, by the way, that if teams played in a cup final, they played a dress rehearsal game beforehand. That is not the case. There are genuine points at stake, but the League Cup final...
I thought you were talking about costumes and the work. I was going, I'd be all up for that.
Well, they'll be wearing the same costumes, I suppose. League Cup final's at Molyneux on the 31st of March, but it's the WSL, which is the focus this weekend. The Chelsea injury crisis has finally permeated its way through to the women's team, Luke. So we don't know if Myra Ramirez is going to be available for this one, or Natalie Beall, Millie Bright, one of those still on the sidelines as well. It's got to be a temptation to start Kat Macario, right? Because she's halving the amount of minutes she needs to score a goal after coming on. Did it in 6 against Leicester, 3 at Everton at the weekend. But such a massive injury and long layoff that you really got to be careful managing her minutes.
Yeah, definitely. And it may be that she starts the game and plays 45 or 60, or, you know, comes on at halftime. That'll be a decision for the medical staff and Emma Hayes. But it's exactly what I was thinking, Matt. It's almost too tempting, given the injury to Myra Ramirez and the rest of the squad. But so, yeah, it'd be really exciting to see her start.
Simon, before we move on from this game, it is such an incredibly important period in the season, isn't it? And I don't think that the lineup for this game will be coloured by the fact that they're away in Amsterdam against Ajax on Tuesday night in the first leg of the quarterfinal, because that's the first leg, right? This game has to be the priority.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't pick and choose now. It's full throttle. Every game has got to be... Every game's important for Chelsea now. The title race is going to go to the wire, and then, yeah, Champions League and the Cups as well. It's going to be a brutal strain on these players, but this is the position you want to be in, right? You can't really... You'd rather be in their position fighting on all fronts than a certain other team that's got one more chance to redeem themselves. So I think that Emma Hayes, it's also... She must be stressing the last dance kind of mantra. So, yeah, and they've been here before. It's not like the first time they've been in this scenario of competing on all fronts. So they know how to handle this, but injuries is going to be a problem. This is where you really miss the key players when they keep picking up these little knocks.
Yeah, quadruple still on though. Good luck to the girls then. 7 o'clock kickoff on Friday night at Stamford Bridge for that one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Elsewhere in Chelsea news, the Blues are going to hire Brentford's Bernardo Cueva as set-piece coach. It will cost somewhere between £750,000 and a million, depending on who you believe. The Athletic's Brentford boffin Jay Harris tweeted, "Bernardo Cueva has been a big part of Brentford's success over the last few years. He will be a big miss." Simon, this is a position Chelsea have been looking to fill for a while. Does Maurizio Pochettino have much input into this, do we know, or is it just a club decision?
From what I'm told, he was part of the decision-making process, and it's been on their radar as a position since last summer when they started talking about it. And of course, Chelsea keep creating or sort of wanting to build up these roles in various departments.
It was an Anthony Barry specialty, right?
Yes. So they haven't had anyone since Anthony Barry, and he was very highly rated, hence why he ended up at Bayern Munich. Although Thomas Tuchel being there had a big say in that. It is a huge part of the game. I have noticed it hasn't exactly been going that great, regardless of stats, and there'll be data galore. But just to the naked eye, both defensively and offensively, Chelsea just don't look very good, don't look very threatening at one end and look very vulnerable at the other.
Didn't even get a corner on Monday night.
I think they've given up. I think, so what's the point winning a corner? Not going to score from it. But also, I also wonder if that's a reflection of the players they have in terms of size and so on. So it might not just be about the way things are taken. But Pochettino had quite an interesting thing to say about it a few months ago when asked. And his answer kind of contradicted the club's stance that he's fully on board with this, because he seemed to sort of say, oh, you know, we've got coaches here that do that and it's not a problem. We don't need someone called a set piece specialist, etc., to be able to do it, which perhaps makes sense because he's got a coaching staff and I'm sure there are people that oversee that. But he also said what you actually need is someone that can take them, that's really good at taking them. And he talked about James Ward-Prowse, of course, a player that he worked with at Southampton. So that led us all to get very excited that, one journalist went, "Does that mean you're signing James Ward-Prowse then?" clearly not, but it does perhaps point into the direction of Chelsea looking at that position in the summer.
Luke, what's the most frustrating thing in football and why is it somebody hitting the first man from a corner?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was going to say that and then you answered your own question.
Yeah. It's so
or
true.
Or maybe... For a lot of fans, I think, and you know, this is 100% when I watch football with my dad, it's when they take a short corner and then someone just gets tackled on the edge of the box.
or it ends up back at the goal, you know, your own goal.
Yeah.
It's pass. Oh, let's pass it back. He's going, what was that? But yeah, I think not being able to cross a football, it drives me insane. Doesn't matter who you're playing for. you sort of think, surely that's such a basic skill to just cross a ball into the area. And yeah, more often than not, certainly at Chelsea, they seem to hit the first man.
I used to say, oh, I could beat the first man. And then I had an anxiety dream that I was at the Bernabeu taking a corner for Real Madrid and I just fell over as I went to kick the ball. So I don't say that anymore.
Who were you playing for in the dream, Matt?
It wasn't clear, Luke. It might have been Atletico Madrid, which made it even worse. But yeah, I mean...
Good dream, to be fair. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Unless you were at the Bernabeu, you know.
less about my psyche, because that's not going to end well. And more about the academy sides. The under-18s played Brighton in the league at Cobham on Wednesday. They won 3-0. Donnell McNeely, one to keep an eye on. You know, I'm a Ronnie Stutter guy, listener, but this guy, who's also a striker, got a hat-trick. He's got 22 goals for the season now for the 18s and 21s. Looks very good. The 18s take on Reading at Cobham on Saturday. The under-21s have got the MDA derby to contend with on Friday night. They take on Forest in PL2. Both of those games are available on the Chelsea app. I'll be commentating on them, but don't let that put you off. All right, let's get to the quiz next. So this has been devolved to Lucy in terms of keeping score. I've written the questions.
Just put nil down, Luke, for me.
Luke, you're going first. I wonder if the stats are like for penalty shootouts, like you're much more likely to win the quiz if you take the first question on.
You never considered doing the ABBA?
Yeah, should do, really. We should get one of the...
Bring it back.
There must be a data and analytics guy at The Athletic who could look into this for us. That'd be a great use of resources. Anyway, Luke, first question. Which former Chelsea player is assistant to Leicester boss Enzo Maresca? Got a really smug grin on at the moment, listener, because I think that this is a question that Luke might not be able to get for once.
I'm trying to think, because I think Maresca's Italian. So I'm trying to think of Italian players.
Just fishing for clues there.
I don't know. Oh! I've had another thought. I don't know, though.
Well, that's two more than me.
I don't know.
Gonna have to push you.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I'll go rogue with the last player I can remember playing for Leicester that also played for Chelsea, but I don't know if it could be completely wrong. Is it Caballero?
Oh, that is outrageous! It is Willy Caballero.
Oh, I just thrown in the town.
Yeah, I mean, psychologically, that is a huge blow for Johnson. Maybe you could pull yourself back on terms here, though, Simon. Whose first Chelsea goal came in the 2012 quarter-final win against Leicester at the Bridge?
2012. Is it Cahill?
It is, yes. One of your muses, Gary Cahill.
Well, I've got a goal. That's just going to do a lap of the house. I've got an answer right. That's good.
Speaking of goals, here's your second question, Luke. Who scored Chelsea's goal in the 4-1 WSL defeat against Arsenal at the Emirates in December? Casual from Lucy, who hasn't even written a tiebreaker in yet. Oh, she's working on it. Okay.
I think that's more of a judgment on me, but there you go.
And I don't know. I don't know. So I'm gonna guess based on the balance of probability, Sam Kerr.
Simon, there's a steal possibility here.
Oh, that was gonna be my answer. I mean, oh, you know, that's a genius guess, isn't it? Oh, the striker that scored a lot of goals. Lauren James.
It was Johanna Ritting Kanerud. Could have been here for a while, and I don't think either of you would have got that one.
No.
Second question for you, Simon. In what month did Chelsea win 1-0 at the King Power in the 2020 quarterfinal? I believe you and I were both there for this one. I know I was.
I don't think I was there, but I think I covered it. So this is COVID lockdown stuff. So I think it was June.
June is absolutely correct.
Feels like a tap in that one.
Okay. All right.
There's no tap ins for me.
That was the first game I went to actually post lockdown.
Was it?
I think. Yeah. Interviewed Ross Barkley afterwards, who got the winner. And all the subs were sat in the stand back then, weren't they? And I said, oh, was that a bit strange? Sitting there and then coming on. And he said, no, it wasn't strange. It was absolutely perfect. I could get the run of the game and it made it much easier for me to adapt to it when I came on. I was like, whoa. Okay.
Good answer. Fair enough.
Yeah, great answer, Ross. Where are we? Question three for Luke. Who was sent off last time Chelsea played Leicester at the Bridge? It was a 2-1 win in August 2022. Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea. I can't remember who the Leicester manager was. Brendan Rodgers. Of course it was Brendan Rodgers.
Did they show character that day?
I don't know, again. So it's going to be a guess. I'm going to go with... You got sent off. I have no memory of this game at all. I'm going to go with Reece James.
Simon?
I feel this is a bit harsh because I was there. It was Conor Gallagher, wasn't it?
It was Conor Gallagher.
Two yellows. Was it two yellows?
It was, yeah. It was a big coming out party, wasn't it? And you thought, well, Thomas Tuchel's not going to like that very much. But luckily, that didn't really matter because he wasn't around for much longer. Lucy, can we get a score check before we go into the final
defeat?
Question,
it's defeat, I think.
Oh, it is. It's 3-1 to Simon. So even if you got this, Luke, on a steal, you'd lose. But let's just do it anyway. Why not? Simon, this is the third question. Chelsea also won at Leicester in the 2018 quarterfinal. It finished 2-1 AET. Who scored Chelsea's goals that day? Yes, I'd totally forgotten about this game as well.
Morata got one of them, I think.
He did. One of the most underrated Chelsea players in recent years, I would say. Got the other one.
Pedro.
Yeah. How good was he, Pedro? He was absolutely unbelievable. He never lost as well, did he?
I remember when Chelsea signed him, it was actually a bit sort of, oh, this feels like a panic buy, just beating Man United, I think just over 20 million. And then he just showed, even in, because he actually joined in with Chelsea having a rubbish season, didn't he?
The Mourinho meltdown, he was one of the last buys, wasn't he?
But he did all right. He did all right. And then he was key part of the title win and following season. And yeah, quality. Not a great interviewer, but he just basically repeated what you just asked him. But lovely, lovely player. And I must admit, I sort of thought, oh, is he one of those players that just benefited from playing in a ridiculous Barcelona team? And then he just went, no, actually, he's just a really good player. And he's still going,
still going
isn't
strong.
He? Yeah, in Italy.
Yeah, at Lazio. Yeah.
he's quality.
Under Sarri. Well, no, not more anymore, but...
Yeah, it was, yeah. Just three Champions League wins. If you go on Pedro's Wikipedia page, we haven't got time for it now because he'll be here all day, and look at what he's won, and it is absolutely unbelievable. It's basically everything. World Cup, Euros, Champions Leagues, Premier Leagues, La Ligas, the lots. But he doesn't play for Chelsea anymore.
I think...
Go.
I was going to throw in some late Pedro trivia. I think this is right, and this is one of my favourite pieces of trivia, is that Pedro is the only player to score in six competitions, in like the big six competitions in a season.
Wow. He didn't lose when he scored for Chelsea for years and years either, did he? We'll do a Pedro special one day. Maybe we'll save that.
I remember his goal at Everton. It's now suddenly turning into a Pedro tribute, this podcast.
It shouldn't be. It should be a Simon tribute because you bloody well won the quiz, Simon. How does it feel?
Well, it feels like an FA Cup shot, doesn't it?
Luke, you're in
I'm focusing
moment.
On the league.
Yeah. This is a bad moment for Bosch, I've got to say. First time in the season. It's a bit Leicester-y, this.
Let's get back to Pedro. He also scored an absolute block. I mean, I'll never forget the goal he scored against Tottenham at home when Chelsea was stinking the place out, 1-0 down, and he curled it from outside the area. Absolute beauty. There you go.
All right, we're all off to watch Pedro goals on YouTube now. We will be back with another podcast on Monday, looking back at Leicester and Arsenal and everything else that will happen in the world of Chelsea Football Club between now and then. Athletic.com/ChelseaPod, the place to go to read Simon's piece on Cesare Cassaday and all the other brilliant Chelsea and other football content. If you aren't currently a subscriber, leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and follow us on Twitter, now known as X, at SO Cobham Pod. Back with you Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.
The Athletic.